Can we turn again to the passage from which we were reading? That's Proverbs chapter 24, and looking again at verse 6. Proverbs 24, looking again at verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counsellors there is safety. Now, I will not attempt to preach a full sermon tonight, because we have a business section as well to this meeting, but to offer some remarks of exposition on this passage, which we'll see immediately is relevant to our purpose this night. This is, of course, a congregational meeting to elect two new office bearers. We have already discussed in previous sermons, going through the book of Titus, the two offices in the Christian church, the office of elder and the office of deacon. We've discussed what these offices involve. We've discussed the qualifications for these offices which the Word of God lays down. So tonight, what I want to focus your minds upon is the need that we have for such office bearers. The need that the Christian church has for men to put themselves forward, to allow their names to go forward for such work. The need that we have for counsel. Now, counsel is maybe an unusual word for the children to understand. It means advice. It means guidance. It means direction. And the Word of God tells us that counsel is something that we need in the Christian warfare. By wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. So that will be our theme for tonight, the place of human counsel in the Christian warfare. And I want to persuade you of two very simple truths which arise naturally from this text. First of all, that the Christian church needs counsel. And secondly, that the Christian church needs many counsellors. So firstly, the Christian church needs counsel. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counsellors there is safety. Now straight away the inspired writer is making a presupposition that you're on the battlefield, that you're engaged in warfare. And so it is of every true Christian, and so it is for us as a body. We are not at peace. We are not comfortable. We cannot relax. In this world ye shall have tribulations. And our charge as the people of God is to fight the good fight of faith, and thus to lay hold upon eternal life. We are in a warfare that is not even of our own making. Here is a war that began with Satan himself. A war that began, not on earth, but in heaven, with a dreadful rebellion in which an angel created by God, named Satan, rebelled against his Lord and his God, and sought to claim the place of God. And we are told in the Word that there was war in heaven, that the devil and his angels made war against the Lord and against his angels who were loyal to him. We are told that the Lord Jesus saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven, defeated, but not yet destroyed. And a new frontier opened up in that battle, a new theatre of that battle here on earth, as Satan came and tempted man to join him in rebellion against God. And the tragedy is that our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. They embraced the path of the serpent. They turned from faithfulness unto the Lord to the path of wickedness. And though Adam and Eve were brought to repentance, yet still in their descendants that rebellion has continued. And right down to the present we see it, that battle between those who follow the devil, the seed of the serpent, and those who follow the Lord, those who seek to stand in his paths. And the Christian church, as the people of God, are called to stand fast, to hold fast, to contend boldly for the truth as it is in Jesus, to stand for the faith once committed unto the saints, and not just to stand, but to advance and to press on. We are not here simply holding on to what we have. We also seek to propagate it, to spread a message, to engage more, to win them over from the side of darkness and of rebellion to the side of the light, and to stand with the people of God. So we're in the battle, we're in the warfare, and counsel is needed in warfare. That's the point that is made here. By wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Now the children know, of course, if you're fighting a war, you need wisdom, you need counsel. Warfare is not just about fighting one person or fighting a few people. It's about huge armies fighting huge armies. You need planning. You need strategy. You need tactics. You need skillful generals who know how to lead men. You need good officers to inspire the men with a spirit to fight. You need wise leadership. You need perhaps a Winston Churchill at the head of your nation to inspire that nation with determination to press on towards the goal of victory. You need those behind the scenes, gaining intelligence, gathering information, all to serve in the cause. Counsel is needed in warfare. As the Lord Jesus says, Luke 14, verse 31, what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So if that's true of natural warfare, how much more true of spiritual warfare? The stakes are so much higher. We're not just fighting for our lives in this world. We're fighting for eternity, for eternal life, for eternal blessing, for a place in God's kingdom. We're fighting for the eternal honour and glory and majesty and victory of our Lord. The stakes could not be higher. And so we are called to engage in that warfare. In the first place, of course, our counsel comes from God. His wisdom is perfect. He is wisdom itself. He is personified in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, as wisdom. God has all wisdom, all knowledge of what is to come, all strength to be able to perform his will. He has already, in his own mind, the certainty of victory that is yet to come. He has gone to prepare a place for us, and he most certainly will prepare that victory. He will win the victory. And he has given us a word. He has given us the scriptures, which contain all that we need to guide us in this battle, to lead us in the warfare. He's given us right here all the battle plans, all the intelligence we could ever need. Why then human counsel? What possible place could there be for office bearers if we simply need to turn to the Bible and find the right answer? The problem is quite obvious, isn't it? The Bible is a big book and a complicated book. We must interpret it. We must find out what it says. But then more than that, we must also apply that to our own circumstances. And that takes practical wisdom. It takes experience. It takes those who know the bypaths of the Christian life. Those who have travelled that path. Those who know the pitfalls. Those who know the dangers. And then again, once we know what we have to do, we also have to put it into practice. And that requires Christian men of zeal and of vigor, Christian women of faithfulness and dedication. It is not enough to know what we must do. We must also do it. So we have here the plans, but we need the wisdom to interpret and to put into practice the plans which are here. And so we reach this conclusion that we need wise counsel in the Christian warfare. We need those to lead us and to guide us who are wise. In the first place, men of experience. Men who have knowledge of the Christian life. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. We need those who have a measure of experience, You have a measure of hard-won wisdom in the Christian life. We need men of capacity. Men who are not simple-minded, who are not easily bamboozled, who are not easily led astray. Men who know what they believe and who are apt to teach these truths unto others, who hold the truth in righteousness. And men of dedication, men who hold fast to the rock that is Christ, men who will not be swayed from that loyalty. Ultimately, we need men who love the Lord. That's the point, isn't it? Men who have come to trust in Jesus Christ as Saviour, to know him, and whose longing is to know him more. Who, like the apostle of old, long that we might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means we might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. That's the kind of men that we want. Men whose aspirations are nothing less than eternal life through the work of Jesus Christ. So, we have principles then to guide us. Principles to bear in mind as we approach the business part of our meeting. We need such men. Men of wisdom. Men who can offer counsel in the Christian warfare. We need men willing to undertake these roles and able to fulfill them. And so, the Christian church needs counsel. But then the second truth, the Christian church needs many counsellors. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counsellors there is safety. Why do we need a multitude of counsellors? Surely if we have one really wise, really godly, really experienced man, that would be enough, surely. Why a multitude of counsellors? Well, three reasons. Firstly, because men are terrible sinners. That's the reality. We are each one of us a sinful man. And there are hypocrites. And there are hypocrites in the Christian church. We're told to expect that. The Christian church is described by the Lord Jesus as a field made up of wheat and made up of tares. And it is not at all obvious to the naked eye to distinguish between the two. The Lord Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them was a traitor, and no man knew it but the Lord Jesus himself, who had that supernatural insight into the heart of man. The rest of the disciples, they trusted Judas implicitly. He carried the bag, he had the money, and they trusted him implicitly. So we might be choosing a hypocrite, therefore we need many. We might be choosing a backslidden man. Yes, one of the Lord's people, but one who has fallen in his private life into scandalous sin and badly needs to repent. We might be choosing a vulnerable man, one with a terrible weakness, one with a propensity to some vile sin or other, one who at any time may fall and may fall terribly. We therefore need several. We need a multitude of counsellors, insofar as our limited numbers can supply them, because we are terrible sinners. We need those who will shore up the Christian church. Just as with a building that is weak, you build against it a rampart to hold it steady. Just as with a roof that is falling, you put up another pillar to share the load and to share the weight. So we need many counsellors to share the battle, to share the pressure of the leadership, the guidance of the congregation of the Lord. In the multitude of counsellors, there is safety. But then another reason. Yes, men are terrible sinners, but men also can have blind spots. And that too is important. No one man has a monopoly on wisdom. We may well have a blind spot at which we are very, very weak. We're told, for example, of Moses, who was one of the greatest of the leaders of the church in any era, the meekest of men, we're told. And yet look at that flash of temper, that explosion of anger, that led to that dreadful impious act where he breached the commandment of God and he struck the rock to make the water come out. He lost his cool. He lost his temper. He had a weakness. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. No doubt he had been faithful in many other circumstances. But he was told, go and preach to Nineveh. Nineveh, the city of the Jews' enemies. Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Nineveh, that city that was full of those that he despised as pagans and heathens and enemies of God's people. And Jonah would not do it. He rebelled. He turned away. He boarded a ship to sail in the opposite direction. He would rather disobey than preach the word to those he considered unworthy. He had a blind spot. Peter, the most vocal of the Lord Jesus' disciples, called by Jesus the rock, Petros the rock, and yet even Peter compromised himself when he was faced by the Judaizers who were teaching Jewish ceremonial practices as the way to be saved. We're told that Peter started to compromise. He separated himself from the Gentiles. He began to observe the Jewish practices again, so they wouldn't think badly of them, so they wouldn't look down their noses on them. And so, as the Apostle Paul recognized, Peter was compromising the truth of the gospel. He had a blind spot. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. One final reason. Because greater numbers of men are less easily swayed. In a little gathering, it's easy for a loud, charismatic person to predominate. It's easy for one person in a little gathering to dominate and to force everyone in a certain direction, to overwhelm all opposition and all voices to the contrary. But in a larger gathering, that one voice is balanced out. There is a sharing of the platform. There is a sharing of the voice. And therefore, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude, there is wisdom, where the one man might lead in the wrong direction. These reasons are all human reasons, and they are all good. But it's interesting that as we look to the Lord, we see an example in the Lord himself of counsel. We see an example that the Lord himself does not just reveal himself as one, but as three, as the Trinity. We're told, for example, Genesis 1 verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. As Father took counsel with Son and took counsel with Holy Spirit in the work of creation. You see the place of counsel, the example of counsel that is being given right at the creation of the world. And so it is that the Protestant Church has always taught that godly leadership is not one bishop lording it over the church, but a presbytery that finds in the multitude of counselors safety. Similarly, in the local congregation, it is not one priest who stands lording it over the people, but a session finding in the multitude of counselors safety. Safety. What a precious word, safety. And that refers us, does it not, ultimately to the achievement of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the safety that he has achieved. In Jesus Christ, there is safety. In Christ, we are safe from the folly of sin, from the guilt of sin, and from temptation to sin. In Christ, we are safe, we are secure. And the pattern of Christ's church is of a multitude of counselors. It is the 12 disciples. It is the 12 tribes of Israel. It is the 24 elders standing before the throne. Let us be guided by Scripture in these things and see that in the multitude of counselors there is wisdom, and therefore that is our guide in terms of the running of the local congregation, the place of human counsel in the Christian warfare. Just a couple of thoughts of application as we close. We're coming to an election, and in this election, let us place our trust and our confidence in men of experience, men of wisdom, men of capacity, men who will be counsellors and wise counsellors in the advancement of the kingdom of God in our locality. Looking to a multitude of counsellors, well, it's a small multitude because we are a small congregation, but looking to the several counsellors to grant that measure of wisdom, that measure of safety, which we seek in this congregation. In the days ahead, remember the weakness of these men. Remember their vulnerability. We are many, we are a number, because we need one another. And we need the support of one another, but we also need your support. And we need your prayers. I, as a minister, am so vulnerable. I need your prayers. My elders are so vulnerable. They need your prayers. Oh, be faithful, keeping us before the throne of grace, that we would not fall into sin, that we would not be at last found hypocrites, but that we would be those who would be kept, who would be guarded, and who would be enabled day after day to repent of sin and to put our trust afresh in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Above all things, we need the wisdom of God, and a wise session puts the preaching of the word of truth at the heart of its worship. And oh, that it would always be so in this church, that we find in the multitude of counsellors, in these 66 counsellors which we have in the scriptures of God, oh, that we would find our wisdom, our safety, here in the word of truth that can be depended upon, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all these counsellors point. Oh, that it would be to him that we look this day for wisdom, for guidance, and for eternal safety. Amen.